This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
Well, this is Betting Weekly Premier League show. You're with myself, Dan Roebuck, alongside me, Nigel Seeley and Jack Wright, back after the last international break of the season. Nigel joins us from Miami. Nigel, how are you?
Oh, terrible. terrible. I've seen that. It's just having a nightmare. You know, you so much sunbathing, so much speedboat, so much VIP hospitality you can have, you know, in a week. It's just too much for me, really.
The key thing is, Are you staying at Miami Beach here? Because the key for punters, Nigel, from here on in when it comes to the Premier League and indeed all leagues across Europe, is to identify the teams that are on the beach. So, A, are you on the beach? And do we now, from here on in, have to identify the teams that have got nothing to play for?
I am on the beach, and by judging by my results this season, I've been on the beach since August. There you go. I am on the beach, not far from Miami Beach, and it's a very, very important time to find out which teams are motivated. I'm not just saying this. I say it quite regularly this week. I went through this card after the international break, and I looked at it, and I looked at it, and I looked at it, and I think this is probably the most difficult Premier League card I've seen for many a year. So I'm making excuses now for Monday morning, but it does look tough. And because, you know, there are a couple of teams that there's a mid-table of about three or four sides who've got nothing to play for, but that philosophy hasn't stood you well this season. It stood you well in seasons gone by, but this season I've tried to rule out teams as the seasons progress, but they seem to keep winning. So it's a very strange season, and this card looks a difficult one.
Jack, Golden Mile at Great Yarmouth for you, is it? How's the beach life?
Oh, man, I'm not going to make Nigel jealous. I'm tossed up between Southend-on-Sea, Great Yarmouth. The choices are endless. And so I won't brag about what I've been up to. So we'll move on. Yeah. But who's on the beach? That's the question.
Who is on the... I mean, look, 8th to a 13th, Brighton, Wolves, Newcastle, Chelsea, Fulham and Bournemouth. Can we rule these teams out of doing well? Should we avoid them? What do you think? Who's on Miami Beach? Who's on Blackpool Beach? Who's on Omaha Beach 1945?
Who's the donkey on Blackpool Beach? That's a question. There's a few of those, isn't there? But I think this season's a bit tricky because the relegation zone, we don't quite know what's happening yet. There's teams going up and down with the points deductions. We've also got this European situation where we're probably looking at five in the Champions League. How many are going to be then in the other Europa Conference leagues and so on, 7, 8, and you've got those sides there. You look at it, and like even Fulham, who are 12th, they're what, 6 points off those kind of European places, and a couple of wins at the moment, and suddenly you go, oh, actually, we are still in with a chance, because there's 8 games to go, 9 games to go, so there's still plenty of points to play for. But yeah, I think at this moment, there's only a couple that you'd probably say are going to be that mid-table side. I'd potentially say a Bournemouth and a Palace, maybe. Other than that, you're looking that there's still a little bit to play for.
Nigel, we've got to work out what teams are going for here. As Jack rightly points out, you know, seventh place might get you a European spot, even lower, depending on who win cup competitions as well. There's an awful lot for bettors to take in when we get to this stage of the season. I mean, is this the business end of the season yet, or is it the last 5 or 6 games?
I think this starts now. The business end starts now. The Easter period is always crucial. I agree with Jack. I think Bournemouth are a side that will struggle. Crystal Palace, I'm not so sure, because they've got the new manager. And I think there are a lot of players who won't impress for him for next season. They're going to make a lot of changes. Obviously, Wolves out the FA Cup. I was looking to oppose them, but they've got a local derby this weekend as well. So that's a different incentive. So, I mean, it's a strange one. You know, teams could be sucked into relegation battles unknowingly with points deductions. Actually places in Europe up for grabs, as Jack said. So I think really at this stage of season, probably only maybe one or two sides that I would automatically look to fade. Chelsea, their league form, maybe secondary to an FA Cup run. They have Manchester City in the FA Cup semi-final. That's very important to them. They've got to win a trophy for Pochettino. Can he salvage a season with a trophy win and his job? So the business end starts now.
And some sides play better with the fact that they've not got anything to play for. You see sometimes the results, they'll go and ping a 5-0 win in when the sort of handbrake's off. We've seen that a little bit as well already. and with sides that are kind of free from the relegation worries, and suddenly put a couple of results together and start looking further up the table. So players are out of contract. They're maybe easing off because they don't want to rule themselves out of a move. We've got a couple of players like that at the moment that have been linked with big moves that are at smaller clubs. You've got sides, players that want to, play for new managers. So much to take into account, and hot on the heels of an international break where players have been flying all over the world. It's crazy.
Beach chat over for now, but we've still got boat race picks to come on the Thames this weekend. Bet Rivers have priced that one up. We'll get the boys' selections, whether they're light blues or dark blues, Cambridge or Oxford, right at the end of the show. We're going to kick off with two anytime goal scorer bets from teams that might be on the beach. I don't know. We're going to start with Sheffield United versus Fulham, which is an early kickoff on the Saturday. I say early kickoff Eastern time, 3 p.m. usual local. It's Sheffield United versus Fulham. Fulham are minus 150 here, Jack, and the Cottagers seemingly have found a goal scorer.
They have, yes. Muniz is the man, and I'm taking him to score here. Yeah, plus 125. He's been in phenomenal form. I'm hoping that I'm going to get on his train at still at least one more stop to go yet. It's one of them that you think he's come out of nowhere. He's been loaned out to sides in lower leagues. He's been the man in the shadows at Fulham. They've had an injury crisis. They've effectively had no choice. They bunged him in. He scored a couple of goals and now he can't stop scoring. And now they can't leave him out of the side. And that's basically where it's gone. And you think, well, he scored a goal. Oh, yeah. Okay. He scored again. Oh, he scored again. And it's been sensational. Last time out before the international break, they had a fantastic win against Tottenham. Surprised us all with that one, 3-0. He scored two of those goals. He's now got seven for the season, which might not sound an awful lot. But when you take into account all those seven have come in the last 2 months, in February and in March, it's been a phenomenal run for him. Seven games in that total, seven goals, and he scored in five of those games. So a really, really consistent streak of form. And for the in-form striker to be plus money against the worst side, probably not only in the league, but possibly of all time in the Premier League, with the worst defence, I think it's a cracking price. Sheffield United, as a reminder, rock bottom, 74 goals conceded this season so far. They're conceding over 2.5 goals. We talk about the 2.5 goals goal line in matches. Sheffield United are averaging conceding 2.5 goals a game for the season just themselves, which is ridiculous. And they've now got to that point where they're just swinging punches, hoping that they can, they're not going to keep clean sheets. They've got to try and pick up a point by scoring two or three goals. And they're just conceding so many. They conceded 16 goals in their last three home games, two fives and a six. It's absolutely crazy. 42 goals conceded across the season so far, an average of exactly three goals conceded. So one clean sheet across the season as well. They just are leaking so many goals. You can't emphasize that enough. And I kind of alluded to it earlier. There's sides that are performing better with the sort of handbrake off or with the stress of nothing to play for as such. And Fulham are certainly in that category. We've seen them put out some brilliant results in recent weeks. They seem to be performing better than ever this season rather than on the beach, as we've said. And Muniz is in particular that, and he's been the driving force behind that. He's going to be their focal point. He works very hard up front. The phrase about you aren't going to win the lottery without buying a ticket applies to him. He has shots galore. So he'll have plenty of opportunities against Sheffield United. He's their main threat in the air as well when Sheffield United are very weak in that respect. So all points to him having plenty of chances and with the form he's in at the moment to score a goal. He said he's got two multi-goal braces in the last seven games as well. So for those looking for even bigger odds, then I wouldn't put them off looking at that. But for now, for me, plus money, plus 125 to get on the score sheet at any time.
That is Rodrigo Muniz, the Fulham striker, away at Sheffield United. Also, Saturday afternoon, local 11 a.m. Eastern, is Bournemouth against Everton, where Everton are plus 210 outsiders. Bournemouth are the favourites at home at plus 125, whether they're on the beach or not. We are sticking with goal scorers here, Nigel, for your play.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Solanke, plus 130 to score at any time. I like this bet for a number of reasons. Obviously, he's the main man for Bournemouth. He scores goals for fun. He scored 9 goals in his last 14 starts for Bournemouth. Bournemouth might have a good swing at it, as Jack said, teams at the bottom of the table. You know, they're not necessarily going to, you wouldn't think they might put the tackles in and might not win it. But that means that they comply with open football and they can score goals much more freely. We saw in Bournemouth's last two matches, they scored 6 goals. Now, that crazy game against Luton, scoring four and a 2-2 draw as well prior to that. So, six goals in those two games. Surprisingly, Solanke wasn't amongst the goals really in those matches. He scored one in that period. But he is the main threat. He does take penalties, which is crucial. Everton are pretty solid defensively, as we know. They've got Pickford's obviously in goal, and the centre-half, Braithwaite, who's obviously linked with moves elsewhere at the end of the season. But I just think here that the way this match is, and also for Solanke personally, I mean, if you look at those two England performances in midweek, which we watched over here, the one thing that highlights me and worries me as an England fan is if we have a problem with Harry Kane. It's crucial. He, you know, Bellingham is absolutely a golden player of his generation, but England relies so much on Harry Kane for his goals, his leadership, and his penalties. And really, to be fair, Ollie Watkins coming against Brazil didn't really inspire me much confidence whatsoever. He missed that great chance. Ivan Toney come on, you know, showed confidence to take the penalty, swaggered around the pitch, but really is the international striker. And I think Solanke might get a chance, you know. I think they're not, I'm not saying it might take him, but we've got one more friendly before England go. And I think Solanke, if he has a good end of season, I think Gareth Southgate will give him a run out. So I think for him personally, this is a huge part of his career. He's probably not going to get to go to a World Cup after that in America. He's probably never going to get to European Championship. But England are crying out for someone to come in and give it a go and take the ball by the scruff of the neck and really go and get it. And I think here that Solanke may have end the season well. As I said, he scores the goals for Bournemouth. He's their main strike threat, takes the penalties. And again, at plus money, I think in a game like this, you know, you look at Everton and think they're in their predicament, they may be a little bit tight. But I think given Bournemouth, I think they might have a go. They've got goals in them. They've got an attacking manager who likes to play football in a good way. And I think this could be a quite an entertaining watch. And I think Solanke at plus 130 with a point to prove for his side and for him personally is a bet here to score at any time.
Solanke 6-1 to make the England squad, not beyond the realms for you, Nigel. You were sort of saying
that. I wouldn't bet him to make that. I mean, I do think the season that Ollie Watkins has had, the amount of assists and the goals he scored, I mean, he could be the top Premier League goal scorer. I don't think he will be overlooked by one miss or one performance, but I do think that he will have a chance. I believe that he'll be named in the squad in the final match before they go with a good end of run here. And I think it will come down between him or Ivan Toney. And we know Gareth Southgate likes certain traits in players. And Solanke may be ahead of Ivan Toney in the certain traits he's looking for in an England player. So I think this is a great end of season for him. And I think if he can score goals and continue where he left off before the international break, and at plus 130 against a team, you know, he's, what is he, fourth top goal scorer in the Premier League against a team fighting for relegation. You put any of those Salahs, you put, you know, obviously they're going to be, their team are going to be a heavier favourite to win the match, but they will be at home. They'd be minus 250 to minus $2 to be scoring at any time against a team relegation. But so Solanke at plus 130 with Bournemouth, the way they're playing, they are scoring goals. You know, they're not winning matches. They did win their last match, but not prior to that, not winning matches. But they are going out on a bit of a high. So I would go plus 130, Dominic Solanke to score any time.
Yeah, 15 goals so far this season. Scores a hat-trick. He draws level with Erling Haaland at the top of the charge. Of course, the Norwegian playing for City the day after. Toney, incidentally, minus 150 to make the England squad from plus 120 when we talked about him before the international break. I think both Jack and Nigel are quite sweet on that price, but he's now minus money to make the plane to Germany. Forest versus Palace next up for us again, 11 a.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Local. Forest are the favourites, plus 125 here, Jack, with Palace plus 235. Same price about the draw. This is the first fixture for Forest since their 4-point deduction. They're in the bottom three for the first time. What's their mentality going to be like, do you think, heading into this fixture with the Eagles?
Yeah, that's an interesting one, isn't it? I wonder what's going on behind the scenes at Forest, because there's a lot of noise around that club at the moment. The points deduction, of course, they've appealed that. So we wait to see if they're successful or not. They've just been hit with an FA charge because of one of their coaching staff was abusive towards a match official. I don't think that's a good ploy. We know the match officials at this moment in time are very much tightly knit. We hear them on the VAR stuff now over the mic, and it's all nicknames, and they all look to try and protect themselves. And I just wonder if Forrest are making a little bit of a rod for their own back with some of the stuff that's going on. So we'll wait and see on that. There's a couple of things that just led me towards this bet. The bet itself is over 2.25 goals on the Asian total at minus 127. That's a very, very low line. You look at the stats historically in this game, and you would suggest that that's probably about right. But we see this season what we're looking at. We've talked about it all season, and it's continually going up and up and up. The goal lines are set around 3.25. We've got a goal line set this week at 3.75, that Spurs versus Luton game. So you're needing five goals in that game to win on an over. It's incredible. This one, I've played a little bit safer by going 2.25. It's minus 127, as I said. I've got two plus money picks outside of it, so I thought I could do that a little bit on this one. But the historical data is irrelevant for this because Crystal Palace have got a new manager. We talked about him. I've been on Palace's side two or three times already in his short period. Two games have gone over. One game has gone under. And Nottingham Forest are in this position now where they need wins. They've got two massive home games coming up. We know their home form has generally in the past been decent. It's not been so recently. Seven defeats in their last nine at home. But they're going to have to come out and go at this one. They've got Palace, obviously, Saturday. And then next week, midweek, they've got a home game against Fulham. And Luton, who their target to overtake, have got both the North London clubs. So tough, tough games for Luton away from home. Massive opportunity. So Forest are going to have to go for this. And I also think this is a great game for them because of how Palace are now playing under Glasner. They're playing very much advanced. The wing-backs are high. The press is high. It's high intensity. And Forest like to play on the counter-attack. They've got Alanga. They've got Morgan Gibbs-White. Two strikers that are in and around their fitness. And if either or both of those are fit, then they'll have a goal threat in Wood and Awoniyi as well. So I think this suits Forest how this game is going to play out. As far as Palace are concerned, we always make eyes to see if Eze's fit. He is. He scored in a preseason. He scored in a friendly during the international break against Bodo Glimt. So he also scored a couple of weeks ago in the Premier League as well. So we know he's in decent form. And what I like as well is Palace have had 3 weeks now on the training pitch with Glasner because they didn't play because of the FA Cup and obviously the international break as well. And a lot of their players would have been around for that because they didn't get called up. I think, so the line is very much attackable. That's exactly why I wanted to go for it because realistically, it's the sides Palace are going to be attack-minded. They've been exciting under Glasner. And he's going to want to, as Nigel mentioned earlier, put his mark on this team. And the team are going to want to be playing for him for what's going on going forward. So I think we'll see an attack-minded Palace and a Forest that can play on the break against them, which they like, and need a win, which is very, very important in this game as far as this is concerned. So with the goal line that we're playing, if there are two goals, we only lose half our stake. Three or more, of course, gets us a full win, which is what we're looking for here. And I do think there will be goals in this. Because I think both sides are also pretty weak defensively and we'll be able to take that on. So that are the reasons behind it. As I say, push the historical stats and data to one side because I think they're irrelevant for this, what the game means and the managers that are at the club now. Different from the ones at in the 0-0 draw at the start of the season, both clubs. And also this line in the Premier League these days with how many goals we're seeing across the board, I've got to take it on because it is so low.
It is very low, according to what we've seen all season long. Chelsea against Burnley next. Chelsea minus 335. Sure, Burnley plus 850 to win at Stamford Bridge. The draw 5-1. Chelsea have found a little bit of form, Nigel, but maybe Burnley have as well, and maybe a tighter game than one or two are predicting. Certainly, the odds are predicting.
Yeah, I think this is going to be close. Burnley have found some good form. They've been a bit unlucky with their results. They should have done a lot better than what they have. They made the brave decision to change the goalkeeper throughout the season. Probably should have done that a little bit earlier, but they've made the decision and it seemed to work. Trafford, obviously, he's gone into the England squad. I can't even get in the Burnley side. That's incredible, really, when you think about it. But I think here, this is going to get swimming against the tide, really. Going on our beach thing, we might as well swim against the tide. I think under 3.5 goals is a very, very high line here in this match. I really do. I think the tactics of Victor Kompany to come to this match, what's he going to be? I mean, he's going to try to contain Chelsea, hit them on the break and try to nick a win, which he's more than capable of doing because Chelsea have been misfiring at heavy odds on throughout the season at home in the Premier League. Or he's got to win the match, but I don't think he's going to go toe-to-toe with Chelsea. And for Chelsea, I mean, what is their season come to? Their season has come to winning the FA Cup or doing well in the FA Cup. Now, I've got it wrong every single time I've said a team's going to be focused on the cup competition in their league form. But You ask any Chelsea fan now what they want for the season. They want to get to the FA Cup final. If they lose at home to Burnley, they'll be devastated. They want Pochettino out whether they win the FA Cup or not, so it doesn't really matter. But they want some silverware at the club. The club needs some silverware. Chelsea have a very, very long injury list. A lot of those players have been on a long-term injury list, but a lot of good players are out there. It's a mismatch of a side. Cole Palmer, I mean, he looks tired in the last couple of games to me. I don't think he's been, you know, he's had a long season for a young man. And to have all the expectation of Chelsea on his shoulders at such a young age, I think that's a lot to bear down, especially with him. He'll be looking to go to the Euros as well. I think he will go to the Euros. So if we look at this match here, Burnley's last 8 matches, 7 of them have cashed over 2.5. And I think this is where that line comes. But if you look at 3 of their last 4 matches, it's cashed under 3.5. So it just shows you how important that 3.5 and 2.5 goal number is. So I love the fact that we can get 3 goals a winner here. If you look at the averages of the two sides, Chelsea this season has scored 23 goals at home compared to Burnley scoring 14 goals on the road, which is an average of 1.3 goals per game. So it's not ridiculously high. It's not like a Luton-Tottenham game, as Jack said, and this is being priced up on a similar kind of theory. If you look at the road games as well, it's one, you know, if you look at the averages on their together, it's 1.77 goals on the road as well. So if you look at 1.37 or 1.77, you should be around about 3 goals the line for this match. I think 3.5 is a little bit generous. Last night it was -136 with Bet Rivers. I think that line has come in now. I think it's coming a little bit heavier than -136. But I do think the fact that we can get 3 as a winner is a crucial number here. And I want to play that. Chelsea did win the reverse fixture 4-1. But, you know, Burnley were all over the place coming back in the Premier League. Burnley have got better. They've got a little bit better. They're going to be that yo-yo club. They're going to come relegated down. They're going to be the favourites to win the Championship next year and probably come straight back up again. But I think here now, they've sort of suddenly gone back to an old type a little bit, trying to be a little bit more defensive, trying to hit teams on the break, not to be so attractive on the eye that got them to the Championship. And I think they might run into Chelsea at a good time. If you look at Chelsea's squad, how many of those players were in international duty all over the world? There was like 30 of them all over the world. Incredible amount of players on international duty. Burnley probably had 3. So I think the fact that they've got a lot of players to work with, where the Chelsea side have gone away on the international break all over the globe, and the fact that Chelsea have an FA Cup match against Man City in a couple of weeks' time, which is effectively their season, I think this will be a lot closer. I would actually give Burnley a little bit of a squeak on the Asian handicap, maybe +1.5 as well. I don't think Chelsea will win very, very easily. But I do think under 3.5 goals is the best bet here. It was -136. It's a little bit lower now with Bet Rivers, but I'm happy to take the price under 3.5 goals.
That change of keeper is crucial for me. I think that was the one that really get it, because he's so much more commanding. The guy coming in, Trafford, just looks like a rabbit caught in the headlights. And I watched the under-21s during the week, and he was at fault for that goal as well. Just soft hands parrying it out. And I think his confidence took a massive hit this season with the mistakes and with the goals he's let in at Burnley.
This is Muric, isn't it? Who's the Kosovan keeper. And he got them up, really, didn't he? He had a really good season last year. And then they just biffed him off for James Trafford, who
presence,
just hasn't come
he's
to the
big,
party.
Yeah. And where they've struggled this season is balls have been put into the box and they've just not been able to command it, because the keeper is just able to be bullied by pretty much every strike force out there.
Brentford versus Manchester United next for us. This is late kickoff locally on Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern. Brentford are +210, Manchester United +123. They've been yo-yoing around a little bit. We've had 180 bets on the EPL show up until this weekend, this season. How many times have Manchester United been tipped on the money line? 180 bets. How many times United have been tipped on the money line? Jack,
I think
Nigel.
I know.
All right, Nigel.
Do
you know
how many times?
I think once, but by both of us.
We did. We definitely picked them to beat Luton.
So correct, and that's the only. That's the only time that they've been tipped on the money line. I mean,
I'm surprised. They can't surprise Dan. They're rubbish. They're always underpriced. I mean, I don't understand. Like, you know, I know she's probably going to talk Jack out of his board and help Jack's bet here. But throughout the season, Man United have been the fade at the odds. They've been best bet on traditional and historical form rather than what the the dross that turn up week in and week out at the moment under Ten Hag. So that doesn't surprise me at all. Man City probably have never been tipped on this show, and because the money line's so low.
Yeah, exactly. I think we've all seen United stumble over the line at fairly decent odds in certain games that they should never have won. It just surprised me that they're not being tipped. Anyway,
who do you reckon to be the most popular team that we've had?
Oh, I don't know, with you two.
Aston Villa, I reckon it in the early
on the money line,
Newcastle or something like that.
Overs, yeah. I mean, I might try and work out which has been the most profitable, which one has absolutely cost us a fortune. Jack, you
another
are playing...
rubbish. Another rubbish quiz question.
it did win when United were tipped on the money line.
Yeah,
100% record. Jack, you have tipped United to win at Brentford here. Talk us through this one.
Yeah, what am I doing? I actually, the first part of what I was going to say is that they're plus money, and I was very surprised to see them at plus money against Brentford. And I think this is a little bit historical, and not so much on the Man United side, but on the Brentford side, which we'll come on to. But obviously, the last time we saw Man United out was in the game against Liverpool, the FA Cup, where one of the ones you probably talked about, they somehow got over the line. It was a brilliant, it was a huge win for them. And what I think I like about this is that there has been 2 weeks since that game, because I think if they played a week after or in the midweek after, I think emotionally, that took a lot out of them. The fact that they got a late equaliser in normal time, that they got a late equaliser and then a winner in extra time, beating a big rival, I think that would have taken a lot out of them emotionally and physically. So they've had 2 weeks now. Obviously, the international duties, they've been around, and that's kind of there. But the feel-good factor around the win is still within the club. And also, they're in decent form recently. You look at what they've done over the course of the last seven games. They've won five of those away from home. They won three of the last four. The defeat was at Manchester City, which, let's face it, happens to most teams. It's unfortunate for Man United that it's their biggest and closest rivals, but it is what it is. So realistically, the form in the most recent time has been actually okay. And some of the players they've now got coming to the party, Bruno Fernandes has been doing okay, pulling the strings. You've got Rashford, who scored a couple of goals. Obviously, the fact they had Hoyland, who was on fire, goal scoring for his injury, he's now back as well. So he'll look to carry on where he left off. McTominay, how many big and important goals has he come up with over the course of the season? Obviously, got that one against Liverpool last time out as well. Garnacho's getting the run of games and showing what his abilities are like. And of course, everyone's talking about Mainoo at the moment and being the sensational star in the middle of the park. So there's a lot of good stuff going around. And you just got to say, plus money, I'm happy to take them. And the main reason for that is Brentford are dismal. Absolutely atrocious. No win in six. They've lost five of those games. Lost seven of the last nine. One win in six at home. Four defeats in that period of time as well. They've conceded multiple goals in all of those games as well. So defensively, shot to pieces. And one of the main men and the reasons that they've done so well over the last couple of seasons is Ivan Toney. We talked about him already. Nigel used the word swaggering around for England, and I thought he was a little bit more focused for England than he has been for Brentford, because he's checked out at Brentford. We've seen his performances, the odd flash here and there. But that interview, which unfortunately he did after I tipped him last time to score, said it all. He's checked out. We know he's going, but he keeps talking about it, and he's fishing for a move. And I think he's actually putting people off going for him because of his attitude, rather than what he can do on the pitch. And so that swagger, all right, you'll need confidence as a striker. But he was like their extra man as such because of how good he was over the last couple of seasons. I think at the minute they're playing probably with like 10 and a half men because he's just not quite there. He looks disinterested. And I wonder as well, going away with England and all the players who have been playing for Chelsea and Man United and Arsenal, all those big clubs, and he's at Brentford. And I just wonder if that psychological, he'll go there and he's going, a Brentford here again. And that is poor for them. And also the final part, their record against the top six. We know that when they came into the Premier League, they bloody noses. They beat Arsenal in their first game. They did the double over Man City, and they always cause problems. This season, horrific performances against the better sides. The top six record, they've played 10 games. They've got Man United, obviously, here, and then Villa to complete that 12-game cycle. So they've played 10 so far. They've won none, drawn one, and lost nine of those games. And that one draw was against Spurs on the opening weekend of the season. Since then, nine straight defeats against the top six sides. And I think that will continue here. and at plus money for Man United, which was a surprise. I think actually, for the first time, probably all season, there's a little bit of value in Man United at plus money.
If you back United every single game this season, you've made money. Maybe we should be looking at United on the money line a little bit closely. Just before we move on to the big game of the weekend, United, Nigel, 8-1 to make the top four. Chances or not?
No, not for me. No, Jack's convinced me into that bet. That's a great conviction bet there, though, to make that Brentford. I'll be betting that for sure. I just think that they're a side rebuilding for next season. If they can get to they're probably going to get to the FA Cup final, aren't they? And have a free shot of taking on Man City or Chelsea and try to end the year with a cup. And that's what they want to do. So then they won a cup the year before, didn't they? So we'll see what happens. But I think get some silverware and the trophy, and then keep getting in the cabinet room, and then keep those young players and develop for next season. But no, I wouldn't be betting them top four. No.
Biggest game of the weekend of the season. Before we get a pick from Nigel on the Man City Arsenal fixture, and maybe a lean from Jack as well, just want to get your thoughts, chaps, in terms of the title odds. City are plus 120, Liverpool plus 200, Arsenal plus 275. Arsenal top on goal difference. Liverpool played Brighton, of course, earlier on Sunday. If Arsenal win, and presuming Liverpool win, Nigel, does City go third favourites then? Do you think? What's going to happen with the market and the matches here this weekend for that to happen?
I think they would. I think they would go very, very close to third favourites if that scenario happened. I really do. I think that for Liverpool bettors want this match to be a draw and a win for Liverpool. That would be the best result for them. So that's what I would love to see, being a Liverpool bettor. But I think if Man City do get beat, Liverpool win, I think they go third favourites. Yeah.
I mean, Jack, does City need to win this game? Would a draw be okay for City?
They definitely can't afford to lose it. I think psychologically, and also the point side of things, with Arsenal already being ahead, they can't afford. This is Man City we're talking about. They kind of write their own rules to a certain extent. But I think that this is a game that they have to make sure that they get something from and, look to win it. But I think Arsenal are in the same boat. They don't want to lose. They don't want to lose it. You know, they'll sign for a draw.
It's an interesting one, this match, because it could be anything. And I say this a lot of times. It could be a game that could be explosive and have loads of bookings and cars and go crazy and then, anything. Or it could be really dour and really close and play a lot of respect for each side. So I think it's really, really difficult ones. I do think a defeat is a disaster. But I also think if Liverpool win, then a draw is not a good result either. So if Liverpool win, then both sides have to go out. I think both sides would have to go out for the win. So it's a really, really, really difficult one to call.
Liverpool, we were at the game last year, weren't we? We went to this last year and we were both very confident.
It was a complete mismatch, wasn't it? Dan would have been there as well. It was a complete mismatch. A 4-1 win, probably the best performance I've seen from an English side ever. And I could see it from the bar I was in all the second half.
Right on the telly, didn't it?
Honestly, it was the best performance I've seen from a British team in Man City. They were pressing Arsenal and Arsenal couldn't get their own half. But I do think there's something different about Arsenal this year, and I'll come on to it in a minute.
Yeah, I was going to say, look, Man City minus 113 here. Drifted a little bit over the course of today. Arsenal are plus 310, draw plus 275 here. Over and unders, over 2.5 minus 139, under 2.5 plus 140. We have got a play from Nigel in this one. Nigel, talk us through what you think is the best bet here.
Well, I mean, all season I've been in the Liverpool camp, and all season I've been saying that Arsenal will probably fall away and they weren't the value in the book. And I still don't think Arsenal will win the Premier League. I genuinely don't. There's a young lad in this room here who's now giving me evil looks as I say that. But I don't think, and when I say young lad in my hotel room, let me get that out there first. Let me go on to this match. I would turn around and say, I think here, that obviously this is a massive match for Arsenal. I think it's much more important for Arsenal than Manchester City. They have to go out and they have to get something from this result, because if they don't, then the top two are going to pull away and they're not going to drop points. So I think this is everything for Arsenal. And I think the international break has helped the Gunners out hugely. I mean, John Stones getting injured, Kyle Walker getting injured, doubts. I mean, Ederson is still a doubt. Those three out of we know how great this Man City squad is and how good this Man City squad is, and they've got players for every position. But to lose those three players is a bad thing defensively. You've also got a doubt over De Bruyne. De Bruyne is a big doubt for them, De Bruyne. Akanji, he's a doubt as well. So they're big, big players to go in. Obviously, Arsenal have got some injury doubts over Gabriel, Saka and Martinelli, but I think they're more precautionary. I don't believe that, because Saka didn't play in the international squad, and I think they protected him. I think he probably pulled out the England squad because he knew Eddie Niggle wanted to play in this game, whereas the Man City players actually played and had to come off and they were injured. So I think it's an advantage Arsenal on the team news here. I also think Arsenal are a very different proposition now than what they were last year. I think they've got a bit of confidence behind them. They know they can go toe-to-toe. The Champions League run has been good for them in terms of experience. The fact they beat Man City at the Emirates during the season when they pretty much outplayed for long periods of that match suggests that they know how they've got no fear. Last year they were fear. It was all new to them. They went to the Emirates with six or seven games to go and they were blown away, and then their season was over, and then they got beat at home. I think it was Brighton that beat them at home, and everything went bad for them. But I think now that there's something about them. The managers learned, the players have learned, the acquisitions they made to this squad has got better, and I give them a chance here. I really do. I like Arsenal on the double chance. I don't necessarily think they'll win, but I don't think they'll get beat here. I think -103 for Arsenal on a double chance. I think they're good enough to take the all the pressure they're going to get, the possession that Man City are going to have. But I do think if those injuries come out, that Edison doesn't play, Stones doesn't play, and Walker doesn't play, that will see a huge move towards Arsenal, and obviously De Bruyne as well. That is that they're big players with big matches to miss. The other bet I was very keen on, or I was looking at, it was a toss up between the two, really. But then I weighed it and I sort of touched on it at the beginning where I thought that the matches can go either way. I was keen on under 2.5 goals here at +105, because all the big matches this season, as we've said on many occasions, have cashed on the unders. The reverse fixture was 1-0, and I think this is such an important game that I think both managers will pay a huge amount of respect, and I think it'll be won by the odd goal or a 1-1 draw or something like that. And I was very tempted to go the under 2.5 at +105. But I thought, you know what? Just their international break, the way those injuries happened for Man City, I can see Pep Guardiola thinking, oh, no, this is not ideal for them. And I don't believe the news coming out of the Emirates that those three players are doubts. I don't believe that for 1 minute. I think there's more doubts. And we've seen it physically with our eyes, injuries for the Man City players. And I'm going to go for Arsenal double chance at -103 to get something from this. Arsenal, they've won their last 8 matches in the Premier League. I know Man City were on an unbeaten run of 24 in all competition. So something's got to give, or maybe nothing's going to give. From a Liverpool perspective, I'm desperate for a draw. I wouldn't be surprised to see a draw, but a draw is not a good result for these two sides. They've got whoever wins it is in the boss position. So it's going to be a really intriguing match, but I do think it will be very tight. So under 2.5 goals would be my lean, but my official pick is Arsenal double chance at -103.
Jack, any leans on this one?
I was very close to putting that forward. Actually, I was going to be a bit more cautious. Under 2.75 is at -121. And I thought that was a very good play, because it's obviously you got your three on side there for half your stake back. So that was my play, and I changed it at the last minute, actually, and changed it for the Muniz goal scorer bet rather than putting this one in, because I think an early goal suddenly opens this up. If there is an early goal, the other side, whoever concedes it, is going to be chasing this game, and then it could turn into anything. And we know the talent in the forward areas for both sides. So that was the doubt for me. And also those injury concerns as well, as you say. I imagine that's why the City price has wobbled a bit, because of some key defenders being doubts. So we're interested to see what the press conferences are like and what the team sheet looks like. Kickoff.
It's going to be interesting, certainly, because there are doubts, as Nigel has pointed out, in terms of those City defenders. That's key. You wonder how bad they are with Stones and Walker. Walker could be in particular key for Manchester City. Unders for both of you here. Anytime goal scorer.
If I had to pick one anytime goal scorer, I've got the man for the occasion, and he's a Man City player, and he just comes up with those crucial goals. And you know what I'm going to say? I'm going with Rodri.
Ooh, I'm going to have to go right
plus
down the list.
700 he is.
7-1. Is this
score
a game?
Score for Spain in midweek.
Is Nigel, is this a game? If we're thinking unders here, is this a game that we should point betters towards first goal scorer rather than any time?
Oh, definitely, definitely. You say that it could be three. It's one of those crazy matches. I mean, if you like your player, pick your player. Bet Rivers will have about 400 different markets on the match. Head across there, get the market you like, and take your pick. But for me, I just think it's going to be close, really, really, really tight. I think it's going to be nervy. I think the cards as well. Obviously, that some states in America have stopped taking their bets on the cards. I think the overcards, because this will be a fiery encounter between two sides that desperately need to win.
Best bets. Nigel, what's your best play over the course of this Premier League weekend?
I'm going to have to go under 3.5 goals, Chelsea v Burnley.
Jack, what's your best play?
Believe it or not, it's Manchester United on the money line.
I like that. +123. That's a kiss of death. Oxford versus Cambridge on the Thames, 9:45 Eastern. We're underway. It's the boat race, of course. Bet Rivers have priced this up. Oxford are -182. Cambridge are +140. The tie, Nigel, is +10,000. There's been one tie. It was in 1877.
I remember it well.
Cambridge lead 86-81. Light blues or dark blues for you, Nigel, on the banks of the Thames?
Well, as a former student of Oxford. I've been to Oxbridge. I called it Oxbridge. I was Oxbridge. But
Oxford dogs.
And I found it very hard to pick three picks in the Premier League, let alone that. I won't have a clue. Don't worry about that. Leave that out for me.
Jack, the heavier crew is Oxford. Is that a factor?
What does that mean?
It means that all of the crew, as well as the cocks, all weigh a little bit heavier than the other crew. Simple as that.
So it's a lot more to take on. Wow, that's going to be tough.
Leave that one.
The tide's going to be high, isn't it, with the weather we've got over in London at the moment. It's
I'll tell you what, it's absolutely belting it down. Not that Nigel cares. Do you? Nigel, when are you back from Miami?
In a few hours. I'm checking out the room in half an hour. So hurry up. Don't talk about boat race.
Back for the boat race. I think you've got to play Oxford. I know it's big minus money, but Oxford are the
I'll take them on the Asian handicap. I'm over 2.5 lengths.
If anybody is watching this, though, if anybody, American people, there's a lot, obviously, most of our audience is American. They will have absolutely no idea what you just
said. It's on the Bet Rivers website.
Yeah, but they'll be betting Oxford in League One. I know they will.
That's good.
And you'll just ignore that last part of that show. That segment is another waste of time. Dan Roebuck, because what is that about?
Highlight. Another T-shirt coming.
Nigel, Jack.
Boat race. I can't believe we're sitting here talking to an American.
Well, we just start. We know we started with a beach. I'm ending with some rowing.
We'll be talking about that cheese thing when they roll down the hills and cheese soon or something like that.
Nigel, Jack, thanks for your company. Good luck with your picks. That is a wrap for Match Day 30 of Betting Weekly Premier League Show. We're back on Monday. Did you know this, Nigel? For a midweek round of EPL fixtures. For now, though, from all of us. Goodbye.